We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man, Andreas Hale. We are talking wrestling. I can't believe we left it to the last show of the week. We've really been like stretching it, but it led us to having so much more to talk about because we got to watch NXT. We watched some of the build, even in the storytelling on Raw, which was great for WWE. In my opinion, one of their best Raws of the road to WrestleMania build. SmackDown, I think, has been crushing it. Raw has been Lord knows. So I can't wait to talk about that here in a second. But most importantly, AEW had Revolution. It feels like it happened so long ago. It was just last weekend. So we did a great preview of it. We're going to talk about the entire card. We're going to talk about what happened on Dynamite, which had a couple of fallouts from this. So we get to put all of that together. All pro wrestling today. If you guys haven't, by the way, check out our boxing and our MMA episodes from earlier in the week. We had the return of Jon Jones. Recapped all UFC 285. We also talked about Gervonta Davis and Ryan Garcia. They had their press conferences. Talked about everything around Gervonta Davis. It was a great conversation. Make sure you guys check that out. Pro wrestling, Dre.
Yeah.
We in here. AEW Revolution. We're jumping right into it. Usually we say the pay-per-view stuff for the end. Nah. We're getting to the meat of it right now. One match I want to mention because now with some announcement, it kind of holds weight. The only match on the pre-show. Mark Briscoe and the Lucha Bros versus Ari Daivari and the Varsity Athletes. Tony Nese, Josh Woods. Poor Tony Nese. But like he just can't catch a break. But Briscoe and the Lucha Bros win. Lucha Bros are great. Briscoe's getting some good TV time. AEW, obviously. ROH all the way. And he's going to be a guy I expect to get a great push up the card in ROH very soon. They announced a tag team match for ROH in LA, the Reach for the Sky ladder match to crown new ROH champions. Dedicated, of course, to Jay Briscoe. And him and Mark had the belts. Mark just had the belts with him everywhere he's went. Lucha Bros are in that match. I think the match is going to be phenomenal. I don't know any of the other teams yet. Is Lucha Bros winning a real possibility there? Because they teamed with Mark here.
I don't think so.
Seems like a passing of the torch.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they just, me personally, I think that Tony Khan is trying to make the best matches he can at Ring of Honor because okay. SmackDown's that same night. And it's weird because AEW's essentially on WrestleMania territory, but they're not because it's Ring of Honor. But they're sending everybody out there. But I don't think Lucha Bros is getting relegated to ROH. And then there's a part of me that says, even if they do win, because ROH doesn't have a TV deal and like Honor Club is $10 a month and I don't know who's really paying for that.
There's a couple of people, obviously, on my Twitter, but yeah, can't be a vast majority.
No, but if Lucha Bros were to win the ROH titles, they'd show up with them on Dynamite. So there's a possibility. I don't think they're going to completely divorce ROH from Dynamite. I think there's some people that will still show up. So yeah, I guess it's like 30% possible. I think the Lucha Bros are in there because as soon as you put them in the match, you go, this is going to be fucking nuts.
I love that you did 30% possible. It's like Steiner math.
Yeah,
no. I was like, yeah.
It's going to be 33 in the third.
33 and a third percent possible. Because there's only three teams, I think, in this match. So it's exactly 33% possible that they win. Next up, Ricky Starks versus Chris Jericho.
It's a good opener.
It was a good opener. Ricky Starks wins clean as a sheet.
He needed. He was supposed to.
No shenanigans. I feel like he already won before.
I know, but I think this
good
was...
match.
All right. First and foremost, like I talked about this build sucked to this whole card. Like this build was like, this isn't great. A few of them were great, but like this wasn't great.
But when you sit down,
boy,
don't even matter.
Like this match happened and I was like, well, that was a lot better than I anticipated. And then I'm like, it got kind of Ricky over. Then Dynamite, they transitioned to who attacked him?
Oh my God. As soon as something good happens,
Juice.
Something bad happens. It's like, yo, the build was shit. The match was great. Oh, Ricky's going to be positioned as something great. You know how I feel about Juice Robinson.
Yeah, I know.
Fuck it. I'm not even getting there. It's not even the worst part. The worst part, Ricky Starks get through Jericho. It's prominent. I'd say that's above mid-card.
Yes.
When you feud with Jericho.
100%.
So it's like, yo, he's getting pushed upper mid-card. You're in the Hangman Page reigns or shit. Like, you were going to get another title shot soon. Amazing. He's in the ring, cutting the promo. I won. It's great. Bullet Club logo flashes.
Oh, you thought it was Jay White, didn't you?
Bullet Club music hits. Mind you, I watched this shit on mute.
Right.
I'm doing other stuff, like on my big TV. Got on mute. The Bullet Club logo flashes. I'm going crazy looking for the right remote. Like, what the? Turning it up.
Like Kenta?
Yeah, I think I had my fantasy draft, like Madden or something. I don't care. Tell him, hold on. I'm turning this shit up. Like, Jay White, Davey, I was almost right. I called it for last weekend. I'm about to hit the group chat. Like, Trey, I told you.
Juice
Robinson. I damn near turned it off. Yeah. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah,
read the room.
It wasn't great. Like, there was two things that happened on Dynamite. We'll talk about the other one, too. That was just like, really? That you go from that to this? But that being said, I thought Jericho and Starks was great. It makes me wonder what the position of Jericho and the JAS is about to be over the next few months. Because maybe, I don't know if Jericho can just keep losing. But I think it's time. Danny Garcia just needs a different kind of push because he's really fucking good.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see him like in Jericho Appreciation Society. I don't need him in the JAS anymore.
It's tough. We'll talk about this, I guess, as we go through the card, as we're interweaving Dynamite into this and ROH. There's a new asshole faction afoot on the top of the card. Where does that leave Jericho Appreciation Society?
I don't know.
All the feuds that they've had are probably going to go to this other faction. So logically, this is a good time for Jericho to like disappear for a second.
Yeah.
Come back, turn babyface. A nice little babyface Jericho run. He grew the hair back out. He's shaving again. He doesn't look like an asshole. Lost all the weight. Babyface. Lion Salt Jericho again. I like Lionheart. Bring him back. Full babyface. People still sing. The sing in that, the song is a babyface move anyway.
They go, boo. They sing Judas. And then boo. I was like, this is incredible.
But yeah, right. So that's as babyface as you can get. So it's one of those things where I think the change is coming and you kind of got to split them up because there's another faction filling that role. Then Jungle Boy Jack Perry versus Christian Cage, final burial match. I love buried alive matches and casket matches for that. Even the Undertaker ones versus like Umaga. Once.
Yeah, Yokozuna.
Yokozuna. Umaga, I think they painted the tribal shit on the casket. Yeah. Yokozuna. There was Mick Foley, of course, in the Buried Alive. Him and Kane have had one. I don't know if he... That Giant Gonzalez match wasn't a casket match.
No, because Giant Gonzalez can...
There's no casket.
They had Austin and Undertaker.
Yeah.
Buried Alive match.
They love putting big-ass people in caskets, too, though. I don't know. That's their thing. But I love all that shit. Love it. One of my favorite stipulations. Makes no damn sense because you're just in a box.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I love it. And there's some things I'll mention again later that AEW, when they try to do special shit, like their production value still isn't like WWE level production value. So it like irks me when they try to do shit. The casket falling in the ground.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Foot out.
I laughed so hard because I know that Christian Cage was like, oh shit. Like,
because like, it was a real
that.
Fall.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, there's no real way for him to brace on this.
Nah, he went down.
Yeah. It's like just holding the sides. That's all funny. I picture is him just like holding the sides, yeah. Real crazy, legs braced on the other one. It's like, yo, it's going to hurt. So, no, I like the match. Jungle Boy Jack Perry. It's like, I see the growth in him. I see the growth in Ricky Starks. It's up to them to figure out how to maintain that.
Yeah. Commit. I keep saying commit to them.
But you can't commit to all of them at the same time.
No, you can't.
So keep someone hot while you're committing to someone else.
Yes, you can have them in other feuds. There's other feuds to be had.
But those other feuds, they choose the wrong ones.
Yeah.
Cool them right the fuck off,
yeah,
right away.
Yeah, Starks and Juice. It's like, no. Starks should be beefing with like, I mean, anybody. I mean, I'm trying to think. I don't know.
I mean, what happened to Darby?
Well, yeah, I mean.
Darby comes off, is like, you could have stuck him into a feud, keep him hot. No.
Well, they also have a heel problem now. They have a lot of baby faces. And now you transition, so now it's like, okay.
Is Adam Cole a baby face?
They're positioning as one right now.
They feel like it.
And he's going to have a smash. But like, I wouldn't be mad at like Jungle Boy. Like, we're going to talk about who's the Blackpool Combat Club and their transition to heel. Because these guys are about to be tremendous heels.
Yes.
I don't know where Danielson is going to fall into all of this.
That's going to be the fun part.
But Moxley, like Wheeler Yuta be in a heel? Give me Ricky Starks versus Wheeler Yuta. Not Juice fucking Robinson.
No.
What are we doing here?
I don't fucking know. And now Jack Perry is like, okay, now who do you position?
Like, he can face Wheeler Yuta. Like, they have a heel problem because Jungle Boy and Danny Garcia, I think, is a great program. But I don't need the JAS involved in that. No. I just need Jungle Boy, Daniel Garcia.
I'll tell you who I want. Jungle Boy to wrestle next. Program. The Bastard.
Oh, where is he? Yeah, you're right. That's a good one.
Lucha Bros are going to do their own thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Give me Pac.
It's like, a great feud.
Because I feel like that brings out another like
yeah.
real asshole. Like that's a good, and they'll make magic in the ring.
Yeah, and the Bastards, he's been gone. Like it's time.
He has.
It's
time. He dropped the what was formerly the All Atlantic title.
Yeah. That was with the international.
International title. Whatever. He dropped that and they were like, whoa. Yeah. Lucha Bros, he dropped the Trios title. And it's okay. Everyone doesn't have to wrestle all the time.
No.
Man, I might want a vacation that Moxley isn't one.
It's never getting
forever.
Poor Moxley.
Yeah. So, like, cool. He went chilled. I know his family's overseas. Cool. That's a good guy to bring back now. Pay-per-view's done. We're gearing up for Full Gear. Him versus Jungle Boy, Full Gear could really be a good
one. No, it's Double or Nothing.
Or, excuse me, Double or Nothing.
Yes. Viva Las Vegas.
Yes. I would love that match for that pay-per-view. So, hopefully, they go that way. Not on some stupid shit.
Yeah.
I do not need him versus Sammy Guevara.
No. No, please God, no.
It could go, or Big Bill.
They have a heel problem. They don't have enough heels that you're like, that's a good, they don't. It's a lot of baby faces right now.
It's a ton. That's such a weird problem.
I know.
It's so easy to make heels.
It is.
But I guess, I mean, you know who's a really good heel? Ricky Starks.
Yeah.
But not right now. Next up, we have House of Black.
Oh, my God.
Versus the Elite.
First match that I was like, all right, this is pay-per-view. Yeah. Is about to be different.
This is going to be a match of the night, I said.
Yeah.
Probably ate my words.
Yeah. But I mean, it was supposed to be. Like, we looked at it and was like, oh, this is going to be mad. We didn't know what Danielson and MJF. And then the other match we'll talk about in a minute that might be match tonight. It was like, holy fuck. Like, what is this? But these two, it was a different match.
Yep.
Like, and they, man. When Buddy Matthews killed, was it Nick Jackson with the knee off the Meltzer drive? Oh, my God.
Perfect finish.
These guys worked their asses off. The right team won. Again, it's time for Kenny Omega to go on a solo mission. But I don't know who he wrestles.
There goes a good heel.
Yeah, he should be a heel.
Yeah,
he's still got Dan Callis.
Yeah, he's still got Callis.
The Bucks could be heels, too.
Yeah, I think Callis tweeted, like, oh, we're back. We're back to our mission. Or
yeah, it's like you got to go back in pursuit of what you want.
Yep.
Now, he could be a heel, and he could work his way because – we don't need to see him and MJF right now.
No.
But it's funny because it's like, as much as I want to see Kenny Omega as heel, it's like, damn, he's about to fuck everybody up. Because if you put like Darby Allin against Kenny Omega, Kenny Omega's going to win, but it's going to be a great match. I need him to get back to the best bout machine. I need him to actually be the cleaner.
Yes.
But this match was, it was tremendous. The right team won. They have to position more trios teams to keep House of Black busy.
Yeah.
Because it could be the best friends in Orange Cassidy, right? Like, they could do something in the interim before Double or Nothing. I've seen enough of Top Flight and A.R. Fox for a minute. We can find us another trios. But House of Black, first of all, the repackaging of House of Black, which wasn't much, but those fucking masks.
Yeah. I feel like they were leaning that way anyway. Yeah, it's just they never had enough TV time.
Yeah, but now they do. And yeah, to fast forward to Dynamite, and Aleister Black basically cutting a promo on the Titantron and then throwing to himself and he's on the ramp. Yep. I was like, yo, this is it. These guys are perfect. The only problem with House of Black is they're three heels and all three of them can have solo missions.
I like that.
Which they should. Like, yeah. Malakai Black should be Ricky Stark. Like, pick somebody.
Yeah. I think after good. These trios titles, then they go tag team titles and then Malakai Black goes for one of the major two.
Yeah.
And then after that, maybe they do side, because now there's multiple ones where you can have Buddy Murphy down the line become international champion.
Dude. And then like a house too.
Yeah. Like you can have them hold international TNT, Malakai Black going for the main title. Like, it's kind of like the New Day.
Yeah. And I didn't know until I saw it. Malakai Black and Kenny Omega in the ring. I was like, I want this match. Oh, I want a singles match. I was like, these two, whoa.
I'm perfectly fine with that being the next match.
Yeah.
If Kenny Omega stays face, then it's cool.
It's a great match.
But I also want Kenny Omega versus Adam Cole. Because before Cole gets hurt, before Omega then gets hurt.
Hurry up.
This was where they were going.
Yeah.
I mean, Cole had backup at the time. Undisputed Era is no more. But it was supposed to be them versus the Bucks. And House of Black was supposed to get the titles, but they were supposed to have their own program. Injuries came, the concussion came.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega then and shit hits the fan. Give me those two. ASAP. I don't care who's the face, who's the heel.
It's a great Double or Nothing match.
Tearing that shit down if they're at Double or Nothing. Next up, Jamie Hayter versus Saraya, Ruby Soho.
I mean, this match was good for what it was.
It was better than I thought it was going to
be. I think every match was actually better than... There was no match that underperformed, right?
They hit Saraya perfectly.
Yeah, like they... This match was fine. I'm just... You know, I didn't think there was any chance that Jamie Hayter was losing this title. She's white hot right now. But then the Ruby Soho turn, right, happens. And while I get it, the way they played it on Dynamite and with the spray paint, I was like, this is like women's NWO, and I don't like this. I don't like this whole outsiders angle. I get it, but I don't like it.
Aren't they the outside hers? Someone like typed out. Like, it was very like punny. It wasn't great.
Yeah, but it's just like I think Ruby Soho, she cut a really good promo on Dynamite.
She did.
Like neck beard, like she just went in. I thought she cut a really good promo. I think she'll have a good feud with like Willow. I think they have a lot that they can do with Ruby as a heel. It makes me wonder, like, well, what's Jamie Hayter about to do next? What's her next move? Because who is a babyface or a heel that's going to feud with Jamie Hayter right now?
You know who wants it?
Who?
It was teased on Dynamite. It's a champion versus champion.
Who, Jade?
Jade Cargill. They're like, she's ready. The narrative around Jade now is, I'm ready for a step up in competition.
Yeah.
Everyone else is kind of tied up already.
That's true.
With this outside her program. So it's one of those things where it's like, I think Jade and her can feud. And it's going to sound shitty because I feel like this is always the case. But Britt Baker's been doing nothing for too long.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where Jade versus Britt en route to pay-per-view might be a good program for Jade's title.
Could be.
Where Jade, I don't care if like Hayter is not like a babyface thing to do, but if Jade drops it to Britt, Jade is really pissed off and then goes after Hayter at the pay-per-view, and you kind of circulate the belts. Like that's something that could happen for some reason. Like she just gets distracted by Hayter or something. Like not by haters doing, but she's just too obsessed with Hader and loses the shit to Britt, and then her and Hader off to the races.
Yeah, I mean, they got some shit to work through in this women's division.
But I think those two were like,
could be,
and again, sooner or later,
Jay's got to have a big match at Double or Nothing. She didn't have a match here at Revolution. She's got to have a big match at Double or Nothing. So we will see. But yeah, the Ruby, the outside hers thing, I'm like, all right, we'll see where this goes. I'm not a huge fan of it.
Me either. Hangman Page, John Moxley.
Jesus Christ.
Texas Death Match.
My God. Yo.
Majority of people turn this match off with the fork spot.
I mean, the fork spot happens. And I'm like, I'm grabbing my forehead. I'm like, oh, man. And it's like early in the match.
Yep. Quick.
And I'm like, all right, well, how much more brutal can this get? Well, they showed us. These two destroyed each other. And if you don't watch like GCW or anything, like you don't, like this was a level of violence that, like if you are a WWE person and you watch this match, you was like, how is this legal?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to jail. But this match was so good. Like this was, we thought it was going to be good, right? I was like, yeah, this is going to be a good match. I didn't think it was going to be this good. The near falls, there's the spot where Moxie hits the table in the barbed wire, and he's like, "Woo, boy!" Like it was one of those "Who boys" that was just like that should really hurt more than I expected it to. And Hangman with a black eye, like these two killed each other. And I'm just like, "Yo, this is one of the best violent matches I've ever seen." And I remember, you remember Moxie and Omega was really good, except for the ending.
Yes,
but Moxie and Omega was really good, but this was a different level of violence. Like, they just barbed wire, forks, tables. Like, they.
Someone was wrapped in barbed wire at one point.
Yeah, like, they just killed each other.
The ending was a man getting hung and lynched with a metal or the chain, like a chain link.
This was phenomenal. This is a match that's just not for everybody.
It was not.
No, it's like, this was a stomach turning.
Yeah.
Like, ow, I can't believe I'm watching this shit. But man, this was so good. And I was like, hey, Mox is going to get a vacation. No, he's not. He's back on Dynamite the next day.
I completely forget that everyone doesn't watch GCW and don't watch death matches normally. So when people were like, oh my God, I was like, oh, like you guys haven't seen shit like this since ECW.
They took Texas Deathmatch literally in this match. They were like, this is a real, like, people were like, oh, Hell in a Cell. Like, there might be a little bit of blood and some violence. And there was Moxie, he got that fork. I was like, no, he's not. And he started jabbing it in his head. I'm like, yo, we're like 4 minutes into the match. This is incredible. No,
this is definitely GCW type shit. So looking at, but I expected it to be good. Again, last week when we talked about it, I thought it was going to be like Foley Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Foley, yeah. Triple H. I mean, you keep going down the line. Foley Orton, like, there's these matches where it's like, yo, it's meant to be violent to really give that baby face an edge. Hangman's change in entrance.
Oh.
Using it.
Like, that was so
felt like
good.
Desperado.
Oh,
like,
I was like, am I watching a Robert Rodriguez movie right now? Holy shit.
Again, everything to just give him
that different edge. It was great.
Was phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I think that was storytelling, everything from front to back was done perfectly well. The nuance of it. Because people think death matches are just blood, gore.
Yeah.
At the highest level, it's the storytelling within the death match.
Yeah.
Cardona versus Nick Gage is phenomenal, GCW. And no one expected Cardona to do that. And like the storytelling was what put it over. That's what these guys did with the death match. And when you get great professional wrestlers and death match culture, this is what you can get. This is why people talk about Foley and the barbed wire matches and Terry Funk and all that stuff. There were stories behind those.
Yeah.
The ear and the blood and shit just incorporated into the story where we're seeing that play out.
And I'll just give one thing before we move on to the next match. This is just a peek behind the curve for me. This match is happening. And I was like, I text Renee. I was like, are you okay? And she's like, I cannot watch this shit. And I was like, yo, you're going to get a vacation, right? And she just sent me, ha, 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 ha. I guess not. All right, cool.
Yes, because the next night, I thought they were done.
Nah.
They ain't done. Nah. I guess a death match isn't the end of it when you hang someone.
I don't know where they go, how far they go with this, but, you know, Blackpool Combat Club being heel is cool with me. Because there's some violent guys. I like it.
Yeah, so, but Moxley beating up the entire Dark Order. Choking people the fuck out.
Or John Silver and just get fucking destroyed by Moxley. Yo, it's funny. I think
Claudio
it's great.
Nerfing.
Yes.
John Silver just picking him up, tossing him over the
ring. I was like, you just like, really? But it's great. I think it's all great. Good stuff.
Yes. So interested to see how that keeps going. But Moxley and Blackpool Combat Club now heels. Yep. You mentioned. Talk about the main event in a second. But Bryan Danielson, still one of the biggest baby faces in the company.
That's why he's leaving for a minute, to let them cook his heels. But we'll get to that in a second.
Wardlow defeats Samoa Joe.
The ending was abrupt. Kind of.
Yes. But it was just
like,
cooking.
Yeah, it was like the ending was abrupt. I didn't expect this to be match of the night. I wanted Joe to win, so I was a little disappointed. But with Powerhouse Hobbs sitting in there, I was like, Hobbs is going to win. People like, Hobbs is going to win. And I was like, it feels that way, right? Like, it feels like they're trying to find a way to get this title on Powerhouse. They've been doing these packages. They got to do something with them. But it's weird because you heated up Wardlow and you cooled him right back down.
Yes.
Because what happens on Dynamite the next night, like, Wardlow wins, he chokes out Joe. Joe taps. Fine. He's going to ROH to defend that title. Cool. I'm fine with all that. They immediately announced that, like, Dynamite, we're doing the Powerhouse Hobbs match. And fucking QT Marshall comes out. And I immediately look at my TV and I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
QT Marshall, Dustin Rhodes.
Like, come on, man.
Why?
And shout out to Danny Akasu, who brings this up in the group chat. Like, QT Marshall, shouldn't it be like Stoke in Powerhouse? And I was like, yes!
Give me that all day.
But this, I was like, oh. And it made everybody look bad. Powerhouse had to cheat to win with the help of QT, who nobody cares about. Wardlow just got the title. Now he loses it. I didn't like how any of this played out on Dynamite.
That power bomb that kept him down was so weak because it looked like he got tossed into like a children's play pit.
Like, boink.
And it was like, and it's like, he can't get up. Like, that was the softest landing I've ever seen. Hide the crash pads. Like,
you got to do that one.
Put him through a table.
Yeah.
Do something better. Like, that one didn't even look believable.
I just hope Powerhouse Hobbs has a nice run as a heel. And gets challenged by a lot of people. Maybe he faces Jungle Boy.
Maybe. That's a good match.
But I think I don't want to see Hobbs cheat to win. I want to see him destroy people. Because look at him.
No, and the promo he cut was great.
It was
just my black ass. So, like, it's hopefully, I don't like the hot potato in the belt. Like, Hobbs could have done that with Joe.
Yeah. Exactly. I think.
But I like Hobbs getting the belt. I don't know where this leaves Wardlow.
No, I don't either. Because I have no idea. Nah.
For a guy that size with that look, you have to win. He's lost too much.
I know. And it's so weird because it feels like you could have, but you can't go back to the MJF view as the only person that beat MJF.
Not off of this, though.
Exactly. You can't do it off of this, and you can't have him lose another one. And we just did that at Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
So I don't know where you go with Wardlow. I don't know.
For that, I would have had Wardlow fail to, like, break the hold or something against Joe, by submission.
Or have Hobbs interfere.
Yeah.
Right?
DQ like, it.
You got to keep Wardlow strong because the MJF feud is still there.
Because Wardlow for shenanigans.
Yeah. Wardlow nerfed MJF.
Yeah.
So you can play that up, but right now you can't because MJF is not losing this title.
Hobbs could have came in, beat the shit out of both of them.
Yeah.
And then
they blew it.
Beat Joe.
Yeah.
And Wardlow could have went off.
Not a huge fan of that.
Me either. That's so whack.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We have the Guns versus the claimed Jay Lethal, Jeff Jarrett, and Orange Cassidy and Danhausen.
Again, better than I anticipated.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was a fun match. Gun Club won like I thought they should, and FTR comes back. Like, I called all this shit. I was like, this is the only reason why the Gun Club has these belts. FTR is getting these belts. The only question is FTR get them now or they wait till Double or Nothing? In my opinion, they get them now. So they get a different feud at Double or Nothing that gives me like the five-star banger type of match.
I would say, how much do you believe in FTR? Because they get them now, fine. They go on. They're going to have a banger of a match. If you put them, I don't know, you get anyone to come through and challenge them. The tag team division is so damn good. There's so many fresh matchups again now for them. You can find a great tag team. But when you look at it, if you do it at the pay-per-view and you give the Gun Club their first 4.5, 5-star match.
Yeah, I know.
In defeat, you make that team for a long time.
I know, and it's a very intriguing prospect. It's just the idea of like how long can you have FTR in pursuit of the Gun Club till they have a match? It's March. Double or Nothing is May, Memorial Day weekend. It's a long time to continue this feud.
It is.
So I feel like they're going to get the belts. They're FTR. Or they could be like Danielson's, like, I'm just going to put somebody over. I don't think they'll do that. No. I think the right decision, FTR can boost this tag team division back up. It was fun with the Acclaim. That was all fun. Let's get back to business.
It's time.
With the best tag team, one of the best tag teams in the world holding those titles.
No, I agree. In the main event, MJF, Bryan Danielson, 60-minute Iron Man match. Spoiler alert, 60 wasn't enough.
Nah. But this was... I thought about it some more. This is the best Iron Man match I've ever seen.
I had a question for you. This is close, if not the best.
Hold on. Nope, that was 2 out of 3 falls. Go ahead. Never mind. I was thinking Colin Gargano.
That's what I was going to ask you.
That was
you.
2 out of 3 falls.
It was 2 out of 3?
Yep. Remember, because I was like, this ruins it because I know they're going to split.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn it. Okay, no, this is the best. Because that match, that's when I think about it, it's just like, yo, that match is crazy.
No, this was that MJF, like, really shining moment. Like, they did chain wrestling. They did brutal spots. Like, they did every kind of match within a 60-minute time frame.
Yep.
But then you had the finish where you were like, for a minute, you were like, is MJF going to lose? Because he's tried everything.
The yes chance. When Danielson breaks out the yes chance and actually feeds into it.
Yeah.
And goes into the knee. I was like, oh, that's it. It's over because he said he wasn't going to do that.
Yep.
And I was like, he went to a place
Bruh.
Where, as a baby face, he channeled the crowd, the energy. He invoked that WWE underdog spirit. The guy's not going to lose at this now.
This hit on all the right notes.
Him getting subbed was a little weird with his own sub. But I don't mind that.
Like, I liked it. I liked it because, he had to cheat to win, but he still won clean, right?
Yeah.
Like, he cheated to get to that spot, but then he held it long enough to get Danielson, and Danielson tapping out is like the thing. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But you think there's like one, that
like
one
passing out,
that brutal submission that MJF started with Assaults of the Earth, and then he like tied up Danielson's arms. I was like, yo, he's going to tap here. And then Danielson gets out of that with his foot on the ropes. I'm like, this match is out of control. Like, there was so much going on in this match. In terms of, I'm trying everything I can to win. And in the process, I'm a really fucking good wrestler. Stop underestimating me.
Yep.
And then Danielson being the guy that's like, everybody knows I'm a good wrestler. How about we make you look like an even better wrestler? This hit on all the right notes. MJF's a bloody mess by the time this match ends. Like, these guys, they put it all on the line for 60 minutes. And then some.
Yeah, I feel like this is definitely one of those where MJF is... at his core, great storyteller.
Oh, yeah.
So in the ring, he just is telling stories. He has worked over the past year and a half to get his body to a place where yeah, he's a good wrestler. Like, he's,
yeah,
he's definitely that, where he's like, okay, now my body can keep up with these people, because he's not dumb. He really wants that money, I truly believe. And he's like, well, in this company, what happens between the ropes matters. As great as Roman Reigns is, he doesn't have to put on 5, 6-star, 7-star matches to get paid. He could be the guy without that. And he puts on great matches. I think he has 2 5-star matches by my scale. The him and Jay match, phenomenal. I think that's a 5-star match by my scale. That's something people are going to watch forever. And him and Sammy is probably the same.
Yeah, I saw people debating. I was like, is this better than Sammy? I was like, these are 2 very different matches.
Oh, this? MJF Danielson?
Yeah.
Oh, this is better than Sammy Roman. Like,
I agree.
It's higher. But I don't want to Meltzer this. But yeah, they're both 5-star matches.
Yeah.
If my scale goes higher, this is a 6. The other one's a 5.
If you want to do that. But I just thought it was like, it's a different company that focuses on between the bells.
And he knows it.
Yeah, and MJF like delivered. He delivered, and then he won, and then it's like he's gloating, and now he's going into the Dynamite, talking about he's going to face somebody from Winnipeg. Who is it going to be? It's not going to be who we think it is. A lot of people are like, is it going to be Omega? No, he's going to find some scrub.
I was about to say, who's from Winnipeg?
He's going to find himself a scrub. But this pay-per-view had 3 matches that were must-watch. Like, go out of your way to watch these matches, and every match on this card was completely different. Yeah. This was an A pay-per-view.
It was.
This was a tremendous, like, and the best part about it, the pacing was fucking on point.
Because you had an hour match to go.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you went through matches and there was no, like, the crowd didn't have a time to die. Because even the 60-minute Iron Man match, there was not a boring spot in that match.
Well, they could have died the tag team match.
They could, but
it was a good enough match.
They excelled. Like, everything was better than expected. The
women's match was like, but this comes down to, because I agree, it's an A match or A event. Maybe A+.
It was, yeah. This was.
I mean, that main event. I feel like you got a grade on the main event, and then like you grade the whole thing. You give extra points for how good your main event was, and it's an A pay per view. That main event was an A+. Probably A+ pay per view. I don't know how you really get better.
This was not bad.
No, like, so
there was nothing bad here. Everything was really fucking good.
It just comes down to how much is that an expectation.
Well, that's
because it didn't have a chance to die because the expectation for some of the matches was so low that those overachieving were like, oh, well, this is great. So the build for some of them, not even in-ring wise, the build for someone was so poor, I was like, I don't really care about this.
Yeah.
And then the match was good to great to above that. And I was like, well, now I can't, like, cool. Like, I like this because the build was so shitty.
Yeah.
And then some of the people right back on Dynamite is like, well, the build is shitty again.
Well, I mean, now
again, Keith Lee and Swerve.
Yeah, as we briefly touch on NXT and WWE, because we do got to get out of here. But I'll leave it at this, is like AEW has to figure this part out, because now they're the New Japan company where it's like, when your big events happen, I can't miss them because I don't care what your build is. I know these matches are going to deliver, but you got weekly televisions you got to be better at.
Because you can, I don't want to DVR. Like, I already DVR Friday.
Right.
I don't want to, like, DVR Wednesdays.
Yeah, like, I want to feel like I need to watch it and enjoy it. But right now, like, watching this Dynamite was a big letdown.
Yeah, I watch Dynamites at this point the same reason I watch the pay-per-views. And that's if you promote a match that I know is going to be a banger in-ring, I will tune into Dynamite. I will tune into Rampage because I can't miss that match. I'm not tuning in just off-rip for the storylines. I'm really only going to tune in. If I was without the show, if I was super casual, I'd be like, oh, no, that match is on time. I got to tune in for that match. Lucha Bros versus, you name it. But any of the FTR, got to tune in for that. Them versus Dark Order for any reason. If throw pack, like, I got to watch that. Like, Omega versus anybody, cool, I'm tuning in. But, yeah, without that, it's just, I'm not tuning in for storylines. And they have to change that. MJF's next feud, hopefully. And this one was great. But and the main event storylines have been really good. I need some more meat into the product. NXT real quick.
Yo, NXT has convinced me. Like, I watched Roadblock, and I was like, by the end of the show, because at first I was like, yeah, I'm going to definitely go to NXT, Stand and Deliver. By the end of that show, I was like, I don't think I want to go to Stand and Deliver. I think the Shawn Michaels, Grayson Waller stuff was not good. Now, granted, I'm Johnny Gargano and Grayson Waller's match I'll watch.
Yep.
But I don't feel like I have to wake up at 10 in the morning to go to it while I'm in LA.
I can watch it on TV.
The Roxanne Perez passing out after the I was just like,
Shawn is playing the hits.
Yeah, I was like, are we really doing this? And what does this lead to at Stand and Deliver?
It leads to her being off TV and you finding and building the next challenge.
But I don't care, right? Like, I hated the ending of that. Like, I hated it. You know, Booker gets in, like, CNN gets swept up in the nonsense. Yeah. Like, no, Fox. My bad.
Yeah, Fox Sports.
The tag division doesn't feel strong right now. Gallus and Pretty Deadly, even though I like them both, I was like, these both feel like heel teams. I don't understand what's going on here. Yeah.
Creed Brothers either need to move up.
Yeah, you got to do something with them. They're too good.
Yeah, they're way too good to just be standing.
But then, like, Tony D'Angelo beats Dijakovic, and I'm like,
yeah, Dijakovic just came back.
And then people are cheering for Tony D'Angelo, and I was just like, God, he sucks. I don't get it.
I hate their crowd.
And then
it's the opposite of when they were in Full Sail.
Yeah.
I hate the crowd.
I hate them too. It's like they try to be ironically cheering for people. It was bad. But then to get to all that, Ron Breakker calls out Carmelo Hayes, and they have this very respectful conversation. And that turned me off so much. What I was expecting was Trick Williams to come out and talk shit. And maybe attack Braun.
Yeah.
Or do something to fire up Braun. I hated Braun's promo. I hated how he handled this situation. I hated this whole, we were pegged as the guys from the day NXT 2.0. And Carmelo's like, yeah, you're right. Carmelo's a dick. And he's going, as a babyface, he should also be a dick. But he's not a babyface right now.
No.
Play him as a heel. Trick Williams needs to be there. Unless it's like some setup to butter up Braun. And then they did the pose thing just so they could have something for the promo package. And I sat there and I watched it. I was like, I'm not interested in any of this.
No.
Again, it's 10 in the morning in LA that I have to get up and go to Crypto to watch this premium live event.
After two bangers of a days we're going to have Thursday and Friday.
And I'm going to be all wrestled out. So I'm like, nah, I think I'm good on this now.
Yep.
I was not, it was like Roadblock in WWE when they used to do them. And yes. I was like, you really cooled off WrestleMania for me?
That cooled off NXT. I'm there. I'd rather go to like Effie's Big A brunch.
Yeah, we'll have our own brunch.
Yeah, we'll figure out what's going on Saturday. But I'm not sure if I need to watch that live per se. It has no, like, I will go watch it if someone's like, yo, that was a banger.
Yeah, but I'm not.
I'd watch it like I watched this AEW pay-per-view where I was just like, I don't care about any of this. And then they delivered. And I was like, wow, I just don't have the faith that they're going to deliver.
I don't. And even Braun and Carmelo could be good, and it should be the passing of the torch to Carmelo Hayes, and it'd be the only match that I'm like super. It's the only match with like true ramifications. But,
yeah, but they'll fuck around and let Braun win.
Right.
And then pull Carmelo up or something.
And then it's like, you're going to have me mad in the crypto? No, I'm good. I'd rather be mad
at home. Be mad in the crypto? Yeah. That sounds like the people when Bitcoin dips.
Yeah, no, right?
Mad at the crypto.
Anyway.
WWE, it's really about the bloodline.
I mean, look.
Man. I mean, that entire episode was pretty good. People shit on The Miz in that segment. I like to build to Rollins.
Yeah.
And Logan. Logan keeps getting the best out of Rollins. He used the punch. He knocked him out.
The punch. I was like, he brought back the punch.
He brought back the punch. So there's little things there that I really like in terms of that feud. I still don't care about the Giant Omos.
No, lastly in Bray Wyatt and Omos and Brock, you can leave. I'm cool on both of them.
Those are the only misses so far.
They're pretty big misses. I hate them both, but whatever.
What do you think about the women's pivot with it actually going to be a triple threat?
Yeah, it tells me, it suggests to me that Ronda's actually hurt.
I thought the same. Where it's like, oh, we got to go back to what we thought
it was
we
like,
had.
Oh, we'll go back to this, and then eventually we'll go back to Ronda because maybe Ronda just can't work Mania, which is a shame for Ronda because it's like, in her mind, she's like, oh, I can do this at WrestleMania. It's like, oh, now I'm hurt. Yeah. Now the tag team's titles get held up. I'm fine with this match. I don't expect too much out of it, but I really want a Trish and Bayley one-on-one.
I expect the match to still be pretty good.
I do too, but it's lost something. Then again, what was Ronda and Shayna really going to give me? I don't know. Yeah, right? So I don't know. The pivot, whatever.
You could do some wild shit and have like the first women's TLC match though.
They won't though.
But I mean, you know, because there's not trios titles.
Not even that. You're going to kill Lita.
Alita wants to kill herself.
But I don't need it. I don't need to stretch it off.
You're bringing that like all the way full circle. And then Bianca Belair's is there. Her and Asuka is going to be a banger of a match.
Yeah, I like the respect.
That's a decent respect angle.
Yeah, I like the respect angle, but Asuka's a fucking nut. So it's like she'll come and help you because he's like, hey, nobody going to kick her ass but me. Mm. And, you know, she still does the kind of shit. And it's just like, I'm just going to drag these women. Carmella gets dragged. I don't know what they're doing with Carmella and Chelsea Green, but they feel like they're supposed to be together.
Oh, I like it.
They're supposed to be complaining to management together.
If the tag team titles were defended regularly, that's good.
That's
a good tag team.
Yeah, but
it's not defended regularly. It is not. And then Finn Balor, Edge. Edge is too intense for me now.
Yeah, he's like really mad.
Right? Like you're really, really mad.
Yeah, it's like, well, we got to beat up your wife.
And like slobbering and stuff all the time. And like his shaking, it worries me.
It's a bit much. I don't know what this match will lead to at WrestleMania. Again, I think it needs some kind of stipulation because we're at that point. But it would, like when Moxley and Paige got a stipulation, took it to another level. Find one for this match because I think these two can deliver. But got to give me
I feel like Edge has had a stipulation every match at Mania since he's come back.
Yeah.
So it's a good chance we're going to get it.
Try to get one.
And, okay, Bloodline. Let's wrap things up.
Look, man. First of all.
Cinema.
Like, first. Kevin still like not accepting, right? But the way he's doing it, I think is handled so well because he's like, no, you can't come back to me. No. Like I told you. And you're still my friend. I'll help you. But I don't, it's not even that Kevin doesn't trust him. It's just like, I learned fucking with you what's going to happen. And it's like, I'm on a solo mission. I get how this is playing. I think it's being played very well. And it plays out.
Cody and Kevin in the background real quick.
Yeah.
Of the promo. I'm telling you, people are like, oh, a lot hasn't changed since Vince. Chef kiss to Trips, putting shit in the background. Quick aside, Vince McMahon grew a mustache and he was backstage.
This motherfucker thought he was in disguise, like nobody would notice him. He needed the glasses with the nose. Like, oh,
like he's Humpty Hump?
Yeah. I don't know what it means. And that's like a whole nother show of a conversation. Like, Vince is like creeping his way back into the company.
It's testing the waters.
Yeah.
Dip a toe in. Now you got the foot. Now you got the ankle.
Now get that old man out of here. But the mustache disguise. But I thought they handled all of this well, Cody and Kevin coming to the rescue. Sammy's still being a gullible idiot in a way, right? He really thought he could get one over on Jay. The great nuance about this was Jay didn't come back for Roman. Jay come back because you fucking with his brother.
Yep.
And that's the nice wrinkle. That still keeps that J. Roman friction hanging on a thread that can be used at SummerSlam or wherever you want to use it. But Jay was like, you thought I was going to turn back on my family? And his family, even though it's like Roman, it's Jimmy. You don't fuck with Jimmy.
And Solo.
Yeah, like, my little brother.
This is actually my family.
Yeah, like this is, that's, he'll never turn his back on Jimmy. And no matter what Sammy does, he thought he's like, Jay and Roman. Sammy completely forgot. No, it's Jay and Jimmy.
Holding the shirt, the walking down.
Bruh.
The hugging Sammy. I don't know what the fuck he said to Sammy, but that's the speculation of it. Whisper something in his ear and the super kick.
Yeah, and it's like, there we go. And now, again, this is good storytelling to get us to WrestleMania because we don't need to spin our wheels with like weird matches. Now he needs, what's Sammy going to do? He has to grovel to Kevin now? Or no. Kevin, like, does Kevin feel bad for Sammy? It's like, you idiot. You fell for this again.
Well, I think now the odds are always, always against whoever goes against the bloodline. You have to separate. You got to separate them to have a chance. The finish of this, which a lot of people didn't like, was Cody coming out.
Yeah.
And then Uso's just kind of like backing up. And Solo really not backing up. They're like, no, not right now.
Yeah.
Because even then, it's a respect thing to Roman. Like, yo, that's Roman's guy. We can't really fuck him up without Roman's permission. Because, like, that's some whole side quest shit. Like, leave him alone. If Roman said we move on, we move on. So, they're like, that's people like, Cody made them retreat. It's one guy versus three. Like, nah, that's like something like, yo, if Roman don't say it, we can't really do nothing. But Cody coming out, talking to Kevin in the back, all that together, Roman's going to appear on Raw.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen Cody go the other way. Roman will show up on Raw. They're going to beat the hell out of Sammy and Cody Rhodes on Raw. It'll be 4 versus 2, and KO will have to come out to give somewhat of an odds advantage and or try to even the odds. And I'm not sure if I'm going to that go-home show in L.A. because ROH is that same night. But somewhere between then and now, Kevin Owens, because he's always the ruthless one.
Yes.
And to make this all make sense at Mania Weekend, Kevin Owens has to take out Solo Sikoa. There has to be an injury angle. Kevin Owens has to remove him. So it's 3-3, however you shake it, coming into Mania. Because it's always 4-3. You're not going to win that way. Kevin got to take him out. And whether it's Solo versus Sammy, Kevin saves him there and puts Solo on the shelf. Powerbomb apron or something, which invokes a whole different emotion because he took Sammy out with that.
Yeah, no.
But it's still like, it's one of those things where he's like, he's out the way. It's just us two versus them two. It's just Cody versus him. Let's get it.
Yo, I don't know how they're going to get there.
It's a numbers game.
They got a great thing with moving parts where it's not predictable, right? So it's like these next 3 weeks away, right? So that means we're six shows. And I kind of expect that final SmackDown to just be like, all the story will be told in that final SmackDown. Will be like, all right, we got to get that stare down or that beat down or whatever it is. But I'm so interested in how is it Sammy and Kevin begrudgingly having to work together. And more Kevin than Sammy.
Yeah.
Because again, Sammy looks like he tried to find a family and the family like, no, you're not blood.
But they're family, but they can't trust each other.
Right.
At this point, Sammy turned on Kevin. Kevin has turned on Sammy.
We know where this goes. Yeah. And it's like
we can't trust each other.
This has been a good build to WrestleMania for these feuds. And, you know, people are still like, oh, if Kevin and Sammy win, it's gone. No, man. These stories are not over.
So tonight on SmackDown, Friday night, how does Roman, if you had to put it out there, how does Roman react to Jay coming back?
Oh, he's going
to
welcome him back with open arms. It's Jay. Well, I'll be more interested in seeing how he reacts really? To Roman. Like, I think Roman would be
Roman's
like,
"Roman's gonna side eye him with the wise man. He's gonna give him that same Sammy hug, where he like looks at the camera over it and be like, I ain't fucking with this.'
I think Roman will be like, "Welcome home," and without saying it, Sammy may be like, "I mean, Jay will be like, I didn't come home for you. It's my brother." He won't say it, but his body language. Again, give Jay the Oscar because he's been phenomenal in this role. The looks, everything he does has been perfect. So
Hollywood Jay.
Yeah, I think you still have to keep that friction because Jay don't fuck with Roman really, really like that. But that's his brother. So he's caught in the middle of this shit. And he's going to do whatever. He's going to ride with his brother. And if his brother's like, hey, that's our family. So we're going to do this. Jay's like, that's your family. I'm riding with you. So this and Roman's going to be like, welcome back home. And the wise man's be like, you smartened up. He didn't smarten up. He's only looking out for his brother. And now however you want to play this, that shit can carry us for the rest of the year.
It really could. A whole nother year. My fantasy booking alert. My hope is that they reignite that feud and we go and Roman systematically has to take down the bloodline people turning on him. Even Solo Sikoa at one point. Like Roman versus Solo would be a great match. And that's how you get Roman Rock. Where everyone turns face against Roman. And you want them to be Roman. Jay finally beats Roman. No one beats Roman. The Rock comes back. Like, fuck you. You've done so much to this family. You made them join you. You beat their asses again. It's me and you, kid.
And then Roman beats the shit out of the Rock.
Hell yeah. And he still stands tall.
I mean, whatever. We'll
beat
see.
Beat the whole damn family. Rikishi, you want some? Beat everybody in the family. So now it's going to be fun. Can't wait to see where all this plays out. SmackDown tonight is going to land more. But yeah, the storytelling is phenomenal. It's the best story in wrestling. It's only getting better. Can't wait for WrestleMania weekend for all the shows. ROH, the entire collective is going to be fun. Wale Mania. Shout out to Kaz, Emilio, everyone involved in that. Wale, of course. Their lineup is stacked. Trinity, special guest of honor. You know that's popping everybody. It's like, oh man, that's going to be phenomenal. Love giving people their flowers. At this point, few people deserve it more than her. And you know, stuff changes around Mania weekend. We don't know. We know she in town. We won't know for who or what.
Yeah, we shall see.
It's going to be so much fun. So in the meantime, we appreciate you all. Shout out to everyone here at Blue Wire Studios, Wynn Resort in Vegas. We'll keep this one short. Follow us on social media, all the platforms. Make sure you guys check out our other shows from early in the week, boxing and MMA. For myself, the old man Andreas Hill. Till next time, we're out.
Peace.